Parkcast, the UK's original theme park podcast.
Hello and welcome back to Parkcast. This is the second episode of our Parkcast colon lockdown editions. We've got Alex on the podcast, of course.
Hello.
And we're also joined by Danny from Theme Park Family.
Hello, thanks for having me.
We're all here, we're all remote. We are practicing our social distancing. We're not in the same place, but we are all on this podcast together because we want to keep entertaining you during this period. And on the last podcast, Alex was talking us through his top 25 coasters. We got down to number 11, which was...
Phantom's Revenge at Kennywood.
Phantom's Revenge. It didn't quite make the top 10, just slightly outside of it. Why did it not make the top 10? What was it missing? What was that crucial little bit?
I mean, for me, I would have loved to have ridden it when it was Steel Phantom, just before it was transitioned into Phantom's Revenge. Basically, the park brought in a company called Morgan to transform the ride, take away four inversions, to take away some other elements to the ride, and also change the length of the ride too, by adding 200 feet of track. And it kind of, you know, it meanders towards the end of the ride, a little bit like Icon in that sense, where it kind of just takes some random twists and turns to get you back into the brake run. But unfortunately, it just wasn't enough for me to give it a worthy top 10 spot. But it is still a very, very impressive coaster.
See, this is one of these coasters that's been on my radar for a long time, because when I was quite young, in fact, one of the first things that got me into becoming a coaster enthusiast, there was a documentary on BBC called Coaster Mania, which is still on YouTube. And if you're looking for something to do during lockdown, by the way, highly recommend that you go and check out this documentary. It's old and obviously it's a little bit grainy. The hairstyles in it are ridiculous, but it's a well worth a watch. It's about an hour and a half or so long, and it's all about roller coaster enthusiasts, and it's brilliant. Wow. And there was a guy on it, the guy who was running Kennywood at the time was talking about Steel Phantom, and he was very sort of brazen on it, like, this is always going to be the fastest coaster in the world. If you want to be faster than this, you're going to have to be like 280 foot up in the air, which obviously at the time, this was filmed in like 1995, he thought obviously it was never going to happen. You're never going to get 400 foot coasters like we've got now.
He's going to be disappointed.
And it's not the fastest coaster in the world, but it's great to go back and watch that. So that was the first time that this coaster kind of was on my radar. But you reckon it's pretty fast?
Yeah, I mean, it's got a top speed of 85 miles an hour, which I don't know about you, Danny, but I think is a pretty damn fast coaster.
That's insane. What I don't get is the fact that they've took away these loops. They've added on track. They've removed certain elements and all. Why not just build a new coaster, surely?
I mean, having a classic in the park is something that Kennywood is very proud of, and having, you know, signature rides that people can come back for many years and re-enjoy. But the thing is with this coaster, it does actually take you off the edge of a cliff once you come off the top of the drop, which is insane. Honestly, to describe that in words is unbelievable. I mean...
And what about the theming?
There's no theming at all, actually. No, it really does lack theming. But what it does have is consistency, the speed, the power, and the thrill. You won't actually get on a train of Phantom's Revenge and see anybody with their arms down, let me tell you, because everybody is loving that ride. It's so quick that you feel like you want to hold on, but you just can't because it's so much fun.
And it goes through the middle of another coaster, doesn't it? Is it Thunderbolt?
Thunderbolt, yeah, the classic wooden coaster that's in the park. Yeah, it actually takes a nice little detour through the woody, and it's very, very special indeed, because you're coming down a really steep drop just beforehand.
Wow. Yeah, again, on that documentary, the guy's there who was in charge of Kennywood, and he kind of had the vision for this ride, and I remember him saying on it, he was sort of woke up in the middle of the night one night thinking about a new coaster, and he was just like, I wonder if you could take a coaster like over the first set of tracks of Thunderbolt and under the second track, under the second set. And he was like, in the middle of the night, he was like, I've got to go and see it. I've got to go and see if it can be done. And he drove there in the middle of the night to the top of this cliff, which obviously the coaster goes down now, stood at the top of it and was like, yeah, it can happen. It can work. And then obviously got in touch with the designers and they got it made. But it was one of those literally like 3 o'clock in the morning.
That's where the best ideas for these coasters come from. I mean, a lot of people might not know the story of John Wardley and Nemesis, and how the name came about for that coaster was actually John Wardley, the designer of Nemesis at Alton Towers, and Nick Varney, who was then the park's divisional director, were actually sat, I believe, at Nick Varney's house drinking. And they managed to get through an entire bottle of whiskey And then they were laughing and joking, completely intoxicated, as described by John. And then they had an idea for this name, Nemesis, and that's how it came about. So some of the most weird and wonderful and wacky creations in the world do really come from nighttime dreams and the weirdest of moments. But it's fascinating to know these stories.
Right. Well, like we said, this is obviously a lockdown edition. It's not a full episode of podcast like we normally do because, well, frankly, theme parks are closed, so there's not a lot of news to tell you about. No. But we are going to rejoin you now, Alex, as you walk us through your top 10.
Podcast. The UK's original theme park podcast.
In at the number 10 spot is Kingda Ka at Six Flags Great Adventure, which most people will know as being the tallest roller coaster on planet Earth. It's been operating at the park since 2005. It's an intermin accelerator coaster. Total track length of 3,118 feet. The height, of course, being the tallest, 456 feet in the air, with a drop of 418 feet and a top speed of 128 miles per hour. Now, some of the elements on this coaster, of course, are the hydraulic launch, which gets you to 128 miles an hour in 3.5 seconds. It's got a 90-degree vertical spiral, a 456-foot top hat, which is, of course, outside. I don't know how you'd try and build that indoors. And a 270-degree vertical spiral back down again. 129-foot tall hill as well, just after the coaster reaches the peak, which is absolutely outstanding. Kingda Ka deserves more praise than it gets, but again, unfortunately, the coaster didn't rank higher because of its over-the-shoulder restraints. In at number 9, then, is Ijanica at Fuji Q Highlands, which is the park's SNS Sansei Technologies fourth dimension roller coaster, which has operated since 2006. It's got a total track length of 3,782 feet, a total height of 249.3 feet, a top speed of 78.3 feet, and features three inversions. Some of the elements of this coaster include a chain lift hill, inside Raven Turn, zero G roll, fly to lie, outside Raven Turn, and another fly to lie. Five cars per train. Riders are seated across four in a single row for a total of 20 riders per train. It costs three and a half billion yen to build, and it can get through about 1,000 riders per hour if the park were operating it at its true potential. Ijanica actually has several meanings. A lot of people might not know that it stands for Ain't It Great, which is what it's basically referring to, Ijanica. And it translates to Ain't It Great, which, to be honest, yes, it is. It's a fantastic coaster and worthy of the number 9 spot. Just misses out on some of the top best coasters for me. Operations do slow the coaster down a little bit, unfortunately. So if you are planning on going to Fuji Q Highlands, make sure you make this coaster a priority. In at number 8, then, is Outlaw Run at Silver Dollar City, which has operated since 2013 and is the park's RMC Rocky Mountain Construction Topper Track Coaster. It has a total track length of 2,937 feet, a height of 107 feet, a drop of 162 feet, and a top speed of 68 miles per hour, and features three inversions. Now, let me tell you, the 68 miles an hour makes me question why it was running two trains and not more, but when I first got on that coaster and rode it round for the first time, I completely saw why. This is a scream machine. So thrilling, so intense, plenty of bunny hills, some really sharp bank turns, some great flyover elements, including a double heartline roll. Absolutely outstanding, and cost $10 million to build. In at number 7 is, of course, my former number 1 coaster as well, Shambhala at PortAventura World inside PortAventura Park. The park's B&M Hypercoaster, which has operated at the resort since 2012, with a total track length of 5,131 feet, a total height of 249 feet, a drop of 255 feet, and a top speed of 83.3 miles per hour, and pulls approximately 3.8 Gs. This coaster cost 25 million euros to build and was built by RCS GmbH. It operates three trains. Well, I say it operates, it should operate three trains. Unfortunately, it never seems to. But Shambhala is a beast of a coaster there in Spain. Absolutely wonderful. Very proud to have a European coaster sitting in my top 10 coasters of all time. But I hate to tell you guys, there isn't many European coasters that have quite topped this list. And look out for the only other one in the top 10 that makes it. In at number 6 is Time Traveller at Silver Dollar City, the Mack Rides Extreme Spinning Coaster. Now, this has operated at the park since 2018, and I was lucky to ride it within a year of its opening. Very, very impressive coaster.
3,020 feet of track length, 100 foot in height, a drop of 90 foot, speed of 50 miles an hour featuring three inversions, and a vertical angle of 90 degrees. This coaster crosses over itself in 14 different places and is truly incredible. It's got a dive loop, an LSM launch, a 95 foot tall loop, a zero G roll, and then an LSM boost. They are absolute dream machines. Matt Rye should be very proud of the spinning coasters they've created. Time Traveller well and truly deserves its spot in the top 10 at number 6. It's time for the top 5 greatest roller coasters I have ever ridden. In at number 5 is Taron at Phantasialand, the park's Intamin Blitz coaster, which has operated since 2016. This coaster has got a total track length of 4,330 feet, a height of 98.4 feet, a speed of 72.7 miles an hour, has zero inversions but two LSM launches. Has four trains, operators four cars per train, riders are arranged two across in two rows for a total of 16 riders per trains, and has a capacity of 1,200 riders per hour. It was located in the new for 2016 themed area Klugheim at the park, has a soundtrack by IMAscore, was themed by Universal Rocks, and is arguably one of the greatest roller coasters on earth, and for me, is the greatest European coaster out there. Taron is an incredible ride. I've had so many unique and special moments on that ride, including riding it with my friends Sean and Brett, and of course also riding it with Parkcast's very own Becca earlier this year. Very, very fortunate to say I've been on this beast of a coaster both in the daytime and at night, because at night time it's an even more of a unique experience. Taron, congratulations, you have the number 5 position for now. In at number 4 is Top Thrill Dragster, back at Cedar Point, which has operated at the park since 2003. It's an Intamin accelerator coaster, another Intamin in the top 5, with a hydraulic launch that launches you from 0 to 120 miles an hour in 4 seconds. Has a 90 degree vertical spiral before a 420 foot tall top hat, before declining on a 270 degree vertical spiral. Honestly, when you see this coaster at Cedar Point, you actually think it's in the clouds. It is so tall, it's unique, it's special. It's not as tall as King Dakar, but because it hasn't got the over the shoulder restraints and it's actually got lap bars, it makes it so much more thrilling and enjoyable, and for me has earned Top Thrill Dragster the worthy place of number 4 on my top 25 greatest roller coasters of all time. In at number 3 is Fury 325 at Carowinds, which is the park's B&M hypercoaster that has operated since 2015, and for me is the greatest B&M hypercoaster in the world. With a total track length of 6,602 feet, of course a height of 325 feet after the name Fury 325, and a drop of 320 feet. Has a top speed of 95 miles an hour and features a chain lift hill, and with full capacity can get 1,470 riders on per hour, which is incredible. Now, this coaster I was fortunate enough to do both again in the daytime and the night, and is once again a very unique experience come nightfall. Absolutely breathtaking. Some of the airtime that you pick up on this coaster, some of the curves and the helixes and the bank turns really make for such a wonderful, wonderful ride. And Carowinds are very, very fortunate to have such a beautiful looking and beautiful riding coaster. Fury 325 in at number 3. In at number 2 then is Voyage at Holiday World and Splashing Safari, the park's Philadelphia Toboggan coaster, which has operated since 2006. Has a total track length of 6,442 feet, a height of 159 feet, a drop of 154 feet, 67 miles an hour top speed, a vertical angle of 66 degrees, and lasts for about 2 minutes and 45 seconds. Voyage is honestly unbelievable, to a point where I even felt like I blacked out towards the end of the coaster. It's a hybrid ride, designed by the Gravity Group, cost $8.5 million to build, capacity of 1200 riders per hour, but let me tell you, this ride is absolutely sensational. Everybody needs to go to Holiday World, not only to ride Thunderbird, but to definitely get on Voyage, which is my second best roller coaster on planet Earth. Now then, the big moment has come, the moment to tell you where my number one coaster can be located in the world. And that is at, drumroll please, Cedar Point. and you can go and ride Steel Vengeance, which is an RMC Rocky Mountain Construction iBox Track custom layout coaster, which honestly is the greatest roller coaster I have ever ridden in my entire life. Has a total track length of 5,740 feet, a total height of 205 feet, a drop of 200 feet, a top speed of 74 miles per hour, and four inversions. It has a vertical angle of 90 degrees and lasts for about 2.5 minutes. Now, I'm going to run you through each of these statistics I have here in front of me. It's got a 205 foot tall chain lift hill with a 200 foot drop at 90 degrees. A zero-G roll variant, a zero-G stall, a block brake, a zero-G roll, another zero-G roll, and an overbanked curve. Again, another hybrid coaster built by RMC, but honestly, the greatest roller coaster I have ever ridden in my entire life. Everybody needs to go to Cedar Point and ride some of these top-class worldwide roller coasters, because for me, Steel Vengeance beats them all. Absolutely insane. You get approximately 37 seconds of airtime across the whole ride. It's thrilling. It's fun, good for everyone, and a great thrill-seeking attraction. And that, for me, is a worthy number one coaster in the world. So there we have it, my top 25 greatest roller coasters on earth, just for you listeners here at Parkcast. I hope you're all staying safe, staying well, looking after one another, staying indoors, washing those hands. Make sure you continue to stay safe. From the Milkman, this is me signing out. Thank you so much for listening, and keep on listening to Parkcast. Follow us on all of our social media channels, and we look forward to giving you more content in the near future. All the best. Mwah. All my love from the Milkman. Signing out. Sayonara. Goodbye.
Parkcast. The UK's original theme park podcast.